Serious TV Drama Podcast. I'm Scott, and joining me once again, the Ralph Boner to my vomiting erection, it's Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey. Hey. I'm glad your erupting erections happy to see me, or hear me, I should say. Unless I have my video on.
I thought about the word erupting, because, you know, that would have been like a double alliteration thing, and you know how much I love my alliteration. But I wanted to make it clear that I was doing a take off on the word Ralph, which yes. You know, was either barfing or vomiting. So is it? Plus, vomiting erection just sounds much more disgusting.
And it's hard to say erupting erection. It's like, you know, like you really have to stop and think about it to get it out right. It's strange.
Yeah, I do plan to work that into a tongue twister one day.
yeah, put it in a script and then just be like, you know.
And by the way, many a tongue twister can probably result in an erupting erection, from what I hear. Anyway, so we are here, of course, not to talk about that, but to talk and discuss and dissect the series finale of WandaVision, which, of course, was titled The Series Finale. Because they make you wait. Obviously, most people might not be aware of this because they're like normal and they're watching it sometime Friday afternoon or evening or over the weekend or whenever. But those of us who decide to watch it when it first shows up online, they don't have the title up. They don't put the title up until well into the episode. So when you first put on the episode at 3 a.m. or whatever, it just says episode 9. But then when you finish it, then you go back, all of a sudden, oh, now you know what the title is. And, you know, every title had something to do with, you know, TV lore or whatever. And this, I should have just known it would have just been like, oh, the series finale. All right. Oh, I guess that also answers the question. So is there going to be more than one season of WandaVision? Which I didn't think there would be. I figured this was all just, you know, a limited series that was going to lead to the movies. When you have your final episode be titled The Series Finale, that pretty much puts that to bed. And there's the New York City fire engines. Yeah, lovely.
What now? What do they do?
They're probably reacting to the finale or something, I would guess. Or that, either that or coming to America. I hear that's not going over too well. So,
Jamie said it was really good. She liked it. So there's that.
Well, there you go.
I've never seen the original one, though, so I don't really give a fuck. So there's that.
And there you go as well. So, WandaVision. I think we're going to probably break this down, just kind of cut it up into, you know, like Wanda versus Agatha stuff, maybe, and then Vision versus whatever we want to call him. I would like to call him Cataract, because I kind of like the idea that that's kind of, you know, he's from Operation Cataract, whatever. I know a lot of people are just referring to him as White Vision, which just sounds vaguely like a white supremacist dream. It's their White Vision. It doesn't really matter. But before we get into any specifics, I mean, overall, what was your opinion on this episode?
I thought it was fine, but it's kind of one of the thing where, like, the penultimate, wow, I haven't even been drinking. The penultimate episode was kind of like where the good stuff was, and this was kind of like, you know, cleaning up house a little bit. Not even though, like, you know, the big confrontations and stuff all happened here, it just kind of felt like last week was more significant. This is just like, you know, okay, it's fine, but, you know, let's tie off the loose ends. Here we go.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense to me as well. I think for me, it's kind of like that. Because you pretty much gave us all the revelations that you were apparently going to give us. Any other revelations that we were hoping to get, or at least thinking we might get, I don't think we really got. But that's, you know, that's some, part of that is also on some viewers, not the show's fault, technically.
Yeah, it's not the show's fault that I didn't see Baron Zemo show up.
No, of course not. No, again, and I'll, I mean, I got a whole thing planned to talk about that later, so I don't want to get ahead of myself because, and, you know, I'll fumble through it now and then I'll get to my notes later and look, oh, look how eloquent I would have been if I'd waited 10 minutes to talk about this. But what I will, and I know I do have this in my notes later, but I'll say it now because I can just remember it. I think putting that aside, putting any kind of disappointments I might have had that are specific to either it be theories or where they, what I thought they were going to do or going to go, putting all of that aside, pushing it all aside, who cares? I think if there's a twinge or more of disappointment with the finale for me, it's that and I'm someone who actually liked the first few episodes. I know there are some people out there who are like, oh, I don't like the first two and whatever. And I get it. I get it. I'm not knocking them for that. That's not like, it's not like they didn't like the first episode of, you know, of a great show like a Mad Men or a Breaking Bad or something like that. When I would just give them a dead stare. But I thought that what they did with the show for a while there is like, oh, they're kind of breaking the mold of what, you know, we've become accustomed to with the whole look and feel and the way stories are told in the MCU. Because if there's one thing I would say, because most people, you know, they embrace and love the MCU and all the product, whatever, and they trash the other comic book guys, whatever. And, you know, I get that to a certain extent. But my issue, and I feel like I brought this up recently on either a conversation or on a podcast, don't remember which it was. And I said, you know, the problem I have with the MCU is they kind of take away a lot of the artistry and they make everything becomes homogenized to have the same kind of look and feel so that you can't really tell the difference from most movies to the next. They may be different genre feel wise. Oh, this feels like a Cold War movie or this feels like a caper or whatever, but it still all has that same kind of look and feel so that I don't feel a director's vision really, in place anymore the way I do with, say, some DC movies, which of course works against them in a lot of cases as well. But
unless they manage to, like, you know, grab a good director, that would help.
Right. But with this, I think my disappointment was, ooh, they were doing something really interesting and different and making us think and speculate and just enjoying so many different things that were all happening at the same time. And then we get to the final episode. And a lot of the final episode kind of felt very much like, oh, this is your typical third act of an MCU movie, or even just a comic book movie in general, but specifically an MCU movie. Like, oh, here's the battles. Here's the level, you know, and when I say CGI, I don't mean to knock it because people seem to say that all the time. Meanwhile, everything made today, pretty much 90% of it is going to be using CGI when you're dealing with special effects and superpowers and whatever. So it becomes kind of a bogus argument to me, but the point being, but then it just becomes, you know, a smash 'em up, you know, and people being zapped right here and there. It's like, okay, I kind of find that I've seen that so many times before. So,
yeah.
And those are probably the weakest aspects of this episode. It's like, oh yeah, this again. Okay. Let's get on with it. Let's get to the story, you know?
Yeah. And I think they really should have kind of tried to use the conceit of the show in a different way, you know, so like they could have had, like, you know, as the fights were going on, they could have been, like, you know, flashing back into different, like, sitcoms and stuff, you know. Even if they just did that a few times, at least it would, like, make the whole series feel a little bit more cohesive and, like,
yes,
you know, that spring. So
right,
so you could have had, like, you know, Wanda and Agatha fighting, and, like, all of a sudden they're, like, you know, in an I Love Lucy episode, like, throwing chocolates at each other or whatever, and, like, that would have been fucking cool and, yes, like, still would have worked.
Absolutely. So I was having that thought as well, that if somehow their fight just became transposed through different just TV eras, whether it be ones that they've covered on the show or even better yet, ones that they didn't, you know, considering this show has a remarkable budget, you know, they're budgeted about 25 plus million per episode. You know, the cost of just doing that set, whatever, and shooting it, like, but is not going to be exhaustively more than, you know, 5 minutes of CGI in the cloud zapping at each other and stuff like that. I would have loved if they could have done something like that. And it could have just been comedies, you know, if they wanted to break the mold further, all of a sudden, oh my God, it's all, suddenly they're they're on the Star Trek planet and they're holding those stupid, the things that Kirk and Spock had a fight with that time, which looked like giant batons, obviously they were stuck with sitcoms. I get that, you know, we wouldn't want to break the format too much, but you know, it could, there's a lot of stuff that they could have done that would have been kind of just at least would have followed the conceit of the show, and it would have been something inventive and something we hadn't seen before. It wouldn't have felt, oh, okay, all right. And again, okay. It's not that it was bad.
No.
It just
just some of it didn't quite work well. You know, like, I really don't care about the Citizens of Westview because none of them really, like, you know, just none of them really stood out as, like, particularly interesting characters at all in whatever versions that they were. So, and you know, while I don't want all these, like, random people getting killed in this battle, I just, you know, I really don't care that, you know, she needs to, like, set him free or whatever. It's just not interesting. It's not really that important to the story, you know. They should have spent more time, like, explaining, like, why Hayward, like, was such a douchebag that he just, like, pulls out a gun and starts shooting kids in this episode, which is, like, they didn't quite, like, connect that dot between his previous behavior. Just, you know, they just...
like
7:15 in like 1 second.
Right. I don't necessarily agree about the stuff with the people in the town. I think that did have to be addressed because that's the most horrible thing she's doing about all this, is that she's basically taken an entire town of people hostage and prevented them from living, you know, doing the whole it's a good life thing to them. How much they could have gone into their lives considering they were forced to have these little... I mean, they gave us those little... The problem is, because it's a weekly show, and we've kind of moved away from those people, it's almost like we've almost forgotten about them. We've forgotten about the episode, you know, which was like, I think it was like the second or third episode, where there's the colleague of Vision who, when he first breaks out of it, and that's when you first get the glimpse into the horror of, you know, that they're trapped in this whole situation, and he has to zap him back, whatever. So I don't know. I mean, I think there's a limit to how much they could have done there. So we didn't spend that much time with it, so that didn't bother me as much as I could have just done with a little less, you know, flying through the clouds or whatever. Or just some of that could have been tightened up and just, or you know what? We weren't working with a specific time constraint. That's the other thing. They can do this as long as whether they chose to be 49 minutes or 59 minutes or 99 minutes. That's up to them. It's not like they're poor. It's Disney. It's Marvel. Yeah. They've got, it's the one production you don't have to worry about running out of money for.
You know? No.
So no excuses on that regard. But I agree. The Hayward thing, I definitely feel you there. It seems to me that they never did anything much more with him to make him anything more than pretty much one-dimensional. Because the only thing that's interesting about him is, oh, he seems like a pretty decent guy now, and then we find out, oh no, you're a bad guy. But that's it. There's nothing more substantial to it. And I would have liked, you're right, I wish there could have been more to it. I want to know, what is your end game here? Are you just trying to take over this organization? Are you quote unquote evil, or are you just, you know, bullheaded and obstinate, and this is the way you think things should be done, and even though it's breaking the rules of what S.W.O.R.D. is supposed to be? You know, I just wish there was more there. I absolutely agree with you there. I mean, at the end, he's being led away by the FBI, so he's obviously in trouble. You know, whether he's in trouble for shooting at, you know, constructs of kids or not, I don't know. Kitty constructs. That would be one of the I put that on the list of things that, even looking at the overall series, I don't think they executed particularly well, because that should have been done better. It just came off as just such a kind of a cliche. It just felt real cliche to me, you know?
Yeah. So I agree. Of course.
So looking at the episode, I mean, the main event was Wanda versus Agatha, and, you know, the setup is that Agatha wants to absorb Wanda's power. And we shouldn't forget that we ended the previous episode with Agatha's big declaration that Wanda is the Scarlet Witch. Yay! You know, you finally gave her the code name that we've all known for the past, 55-something years. But cool that, because finally she's referred to that way, because it's one of those things you realize when you, sometimes you don't know until you go into IMDb and you look up how a character is listed, or you watch the movie and you watch the credits, you realize, oh, that's right. They've never referred to her as the Scarlet Witch up until this point. And it sometimes those things happen, you know who that's who the character is supposed to be, and it doesn't occur to you that they've never been referred to that way. A weirder example, and I'm curious to see the Zack Snyder cut in a couple weeks. If you were to watch, and I might have mentioned this on a podcast before, I must have, in Justice League, the Flash is never actually the Flash. He's never referred to as the Flash. And that never occurred to me, because we figured we all know that's who he is. And it's his little brief appearance when he showed up in Crisis on Infinite Earths, and his reaction to Barry calling himself the Flash, and he went, oh, that's got something along the line, like, oh, that, wow, it's a cool name. Like, he had never thought of that before. So not only is him showing up on the Flash TV show important in terms of it brings the movie and TV show together as a multiverse, if not for the TV show, the movie Flash won't have a name. So, same. And or a better outfit, apparently. So, thank Grant Gustin for everything. But back to this.
Whatever. If the Snyder cut just has him wearing yellow boots, you'll just be like, oh, Zack Snyder, it's the new Hitchcock. Oh, I like this guy. got me boots.
Oh, my God. Okay, all right. I'm going to tell you right now. If somehow he has yellow boots, well, first of all, he's going to have that whole stupid plate armor outfit, which I hate and is ridiculous. But if he had yellow boots with that outfit, not only will I record a podcast about that movie, I might title it Zack Snyder is Our New Hitchcock or something. or thank you, Zack Snyder, for the yellow boots. I don't know. Oh, my Lord. Put that on my freaking tombstone. All he wanted was a pair of fucking yellow boots. I don't want anyone to ever send me actual yellow boots, because I don't want them. Anyway, so back to WandaVision. That's my favorite digression we've had on this podcast in some time. So we're in this episode, and she breaks out the Darkhold, the book that I talked a little bit about on our last podcast, the Magic Book of the Damned, that I actually didn't think they would really focus on too much because of its almost overuse on the show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm going to circle back to that in about a minute. Anyway, what's important here for this series, for this episode, and then moving on into movie land, is that she reads from a chapter that's devoted to the Scarlet Witch. And she says, the Scarlet Witch is not born, she is forged. Okay, so basically she's describing the Scarlet Witch as something that's more a weapon than a person. And I guess she's composed, it's chaos magic that's
created. And a giant Dinkla just making her and using star powers or whatever.
Right. Now, she then said she has no coven, no need for incantation. Now, that's important because it indicates that unlike those who are witches and warlocks and who are in covens and whatever, she has her own singular power and does not rely on being infused with the power or assistance of a coven of witches. I only know about this kind of stuff from, I talked about in the previous podcast, I watched 48 episodes of Buffy, many of which dealt with witches, so it's just in my head, right? So it came in handy for this. And also, if she has no need for incantation, Well, that means she doesn't have that potential weakness that many sorcerers have due to having to speak their spells, you know, like a Zatanna in the DC universe or something. Because they can always be rendered almost powerless if they're somehow muted, be it, you know, physically or a spell or whatever. That's always a gag with Zatanna. Oh, get, you know, put a gag on her. She's powerless now, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, like, in, I think in Doctor Strange, there's a scene where he, like, doesn't let Mads Mikkelsen, like, talk for a while by putting, like, a thing on him, and then he can't do anything. Right. I think they do the same thing to Loki at some point, too, in one of these things.
I think so. I've been to Mads Mikkelsen thing. So, and speaking of Doctor Strange, and here we get to something even bigger. Her power exceeds the Sorcerer Supreme. Yeah. Well, the Sorcerer Supreme is Doctor Strange. So that's some serious power. And then, of course, the kicker is it's her destiny to destroy the world. And I realized, hey, you know what that book just did? That book is basically a primer for the script, apparently, to the next Doctor Strange movie. Because I think you just gave me the plot. you just said it like, you just told me that this character is not only more stronger than Doctor Strange, it's going to be her destiny to destroy the world. Oh, I guess that's what Doctor Strange 2 is going to be about to some extent. Maybe. Well, it's got to be. You know, it's going to be some to whatever. But the thing with the Darkhold is, they establish here that Agatha has had this book for the past, you know, several hundred years since, I guess, you know, the 17th century, whatever. So basically, they're kind of saying that the MCU just retconned away the entire Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. series, which, you know, okay. You know, and I was thinking about this because, you know, retcons in comic book, TV show, movies is not that uncommon, but sometimes it starts to stick when it becomes, okay, you're doing one after the other. Because obviously the major one on this show, we talked about it, was them retconning, as far as the MCU is concerned, they retconned Wanda's powers and magical abilities to be something that she had all along. They were just brought out to shine even by the Mind Stone rather than being created by the Mind Stone. And it felt like, okay, I get why they had to do that. It puts it more in track with what the character has always been. And then it can also feed to her being a quote-unquote mutant or whatever, or however else they want to go down over the years with that character. I'm fine with that. But the weird thing is, you just erased what was a 7-season-long series. A series that itself was known for already rewriting other things that had happened in the MCU because, you know, Agent Coulson dies in the Avengers. But no, he's brought back to life on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Or this other character was killed on Agent Carter. No, they're rescued and brought back to life on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Literally, you know, it's like the MCU stands for messy rather than Marvel with the way they handled these things, I think.
Well, Agatha Harkness could be from a different reality too, you know. So like if she like was infused with like, you know, nightmare powers or something, she could have like came through the, you know, nexus of realities or whatever and could just be from a different thing and then, you know.
You know, I wanna believe something like that, but I feel after getting pounded down after this show is over and looking back on all our lovely and awesome theories and how the major ones, you know, that I spewed out or we talked about, whatever, came to little to no fruition. You know, it's like, oh, I understand that sometimes the simplest route or sometimes the most simplest route or obvious route is usually the way to go. But that kind of does feed itself into a certain amount of disappointment. But I'm okay with that. There's only one thing I'm not okay with. Ooh, but I'm gonna that's gonna be my life on Mars, like rant later. And I have written nothing about it. I just wrote rant in my notes because I'm gonna rant about it. But I'm not okay.
Yes, did you just draw a picture of Glenn hiding under a dumpster in Walking Dead, and then like write not as fast as Barry Allen on it?
Oh no! Well, I did it. I did that, and it's a dumpster. But instead, I kind of painted it. You know, I put it like a lightning. I did put a lightning bolt on it, like Flash, but I painted it like silver and white. So anyway, so apparently Agatha offers to make a trade with Wanda if Wanda will give Aggie her power, and then Ags is going to fix whatever's wrong with Wanda's Westview so she can live happily ever after with Vision and the kids. But we all know that's not where it's going to go. Basically, what's kind of, I'll say, the fun part about what goes on between Wanda and Agatha It's not the zap, zap, zap stuff, whatever. I did kind of get a little bit of a kick out of the fact that, they just keep flipping the power dynamic back and forth between the two of them. You know, cause I mean, obviously Agatha is lying about granting Wanda's wish in return for her power. She's never going to do that. We know. But then she makes it clear that she wouldn't even be able to fix the spell cast by another. She says something along those lines, which, by the way, I just thought was some serious magical bullshit. Because, hello, magical super beings, sorcerers, whatever, and wizards, they spend most of their time counteracting and reversing spells cast by other people. So that excuse didn't fly with me. But Wanda seems to get the upper hand when she zaps Agatha, I think, like all the way back to, she's back to the stake in the late 17th century again. And it looks like she's raising the coven back from the dead to strike back at Agatha. And I put aside my confusion for a moment. I'm like, wait, if they're dead, how is she able to raise them? And I was like, no, that's fine. It's magic. Just go with it. Whatever. They do that on, wizards do that shit all the time. But then the coven turns on Wanda. What, you were going to say something? I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, the Salem stuff, they just didn't really make it work, you know? I mean, it's just not that interesting. It's not, like, what happened at all. But then she's trying to, like, say, like, well, there's always going to be people with pitchforks, like, coming after you. But, like, this show's version of Salem is, like, witches going after a witch. Like, it's not exactly a parallel situation. So it's just a really clumsy metaphor or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. Again, it was an idea that I think initially could have been a good idea if you kind of took it somewhere and you kind of didn't. So I would have rather you just did like let's tackle each other throughout the different TV show history or something like that, just to bring that whole thing together. I would have kind of enjoyed that.
Marvel could like pay me like $75,000 a year, and like DC could pay you like twice that because it's so fucking expensive to live in New York. But like, we could just like tell them like what to do. Like, we've read the comics, we know, like, whatever, you know, we got some skills. Like, you know, just give it a little thought. It's not hard. I mean, it's not like you have to freaking, like, you know, micromanage and control everything, but just like the stuff that we come up with on this podcast without any like preconception, as we're just kind of bouncing ideas off each other, are more thought than they did in like a, you know, 15-week writing process in a lot of these things. And that's just, it's unacceptable because we're a couple schmucks, you know?
Right. Exactly. If we can come up with this, come on. There's no excuse.
But you know, but you just think they could just have one person, just like, you know, I don't know. I suppose there's like, you know, like the writers union doesn't want like somebody to like critique their shit, or somebody's fucking like insecure somewhere. I don't fucking know. But right. it would solve a lot of problems if you just had somebody all the time just like dotting the I's and crossing the T's with this shit.
Yeah, it feels like you also. I mean, both universes, but especially Marvel, because Marvel has really, generally speaking, done such a really good job of streamlining things and getting everybody in lockstep motion, but then you still have these weird little outliers, and wait, do they really relate to the MCU? Are they just tangentially connected? That's why I always made fun. That's one of the many reasons I would make fun of some of the Netflix series that some people hold in higher regard than I think they ever have deserved, because they would be, oh no, it's part of the MCU. It's like, yeah, because there's a New York Post headline on the wall, or someone makes kind of an odd reference to the Hulk or something, and it never really feels like they're part of anything, so I never really buy it. It's like, I wish they wouldn't make the effort. But, what was I going to say? It was funny because I was having a conversation with someone a couple weeks ago, and we kind of have these little fanciful conversations sometimes. You know, and they've evolved past the, you know, if you could have one superpower, what would it be kind of crap, whatever. There's one drunk guy who always comes up with that one for some reason. But the one my friend posed to me, which was a little different than I was expecting, and especially because he knows me, you know, being a quote unquote, you know, there. I am doing air quotes when I do that because, you know, I pretend we're on a video cast, I guess. If I could pick one comic book storyline, and anything in the history of comics that I would be given carte blanche and whatever to write the script for, you know, whether it be movies or television, but presumably a movie, whatever, what would it be? And I was like sitting there and I was thinking about it for a while because I was going, I kind of want to do something that I haven't really seen before, but maybe it might be something that has been touched on, might have been touched on in an animated series, if not a live. I mean, I was going back and forth. I kept coming up with ideas, and I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. I mean, I was coming up with like, oh, there's this Flash storyline where his wife is murdered and he's hooked on angel dust, and then he kills Professor Zoom, and he goes, and then he's on trial. It's like, and that might be a little bit of a downer for a movie. So I just kept coming up with things, and it just reminded me of how much fun it would be to write, you know, if you actually had the opportunity to write a comic book movie, because it's just infused with so much, you know, especially if you're someone who's familiar with these characters. And I'm assuming whoever writes the scripts for Marvel stuff as well as DC stuff hopefully has a long time familiarity with those characters. You know, because otherwise I'd be like, no, then you should get someone who has a deep, love. You should love these characters if you're going to write for them, is the way I look at it. If someone's writing this, and, or at least one of the writers involved in WandaVision should be someone who, if they don't have an Avengers comic book collection similar to you, they should wish that they did. I don't want to hear that, oh, they picked up 3 graphic novels at the store the week before and read them, and they got and that was how they prepared.
Well, that's like how they made like Iron Man 3, for example. Just like jammed together a few recent Iron Man concepts that they probably bought the graphic novels from, and then just it doesn't quite work. I mean, for the most, I know you really hate Iron Man 3, and I think it's okay for the most part, but the way you can just see that that's what how the script is made. You know, we're just going to do some Iron Man stuff and throw it together, and it's not going to be cohesive.
Oh, no. I loved Iron Man 3 when it was Batman Forever. So, sorry. The Guy Pearce character is basically the Jim Carrey's Riddler, except he doesn't get all goofy at the end. So back to WandaVision. Because later on, Wanda is being drained of her powers by Agatha, but when she tries to toss a spell Wanda's way, that's when she finds out Wanda has taken a page. And I'm not referencing that book, from Agatha's basement shenanigans in that earlier episode. That was the one where, I guess by having the runes hanging on the walls of you know, whatever the space is, that no one else can utilize magic within that space. I guess that only applies to spells, not to flying and other things that she was doing just moments before. But
yeah, it wasn't that, because all did was make me think, oh, that's why they had that rune scene in the previously on segment, the end of the episode. That was the only thing, this big thing for me. Just like, oh, that's why they're reminding the people that maybe aren't smart enough to remember 2 episodes ago that this is what happened.
I could see that only, but I'll forgive them that because it worked for the basement scene, because otherwise we would be wondering why Wanda isn't blasting her. I'll give it that. I know what you're saying.
The inverse just wasn't really paid off really well.
It was kind of like Exactly. It's one of those things where if this had been a longer term series and that had been established much earlier on, it might have been a more ooh, that's kind of fun kind of a payoff. But it's only been a couple weeks, so I keep forgetting how many Wait, did we just end with the Agatha All Along song, or was that, you know, a multi? And then it's like, no, that's 2 episodes. Like, I keep forgetting. because she's got these giant runes on the walls, I guess, of the hex that encapsulates Westview, and so now Agatha's powerless, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? What we care about here is here Wanda finally becomes, boom, she's actually the Scarlet Witch, which means she gets a real deal Scarlet Witch outfit. It could have used a little less black and a little bit more red, but otherwise I thought it looked pretty good. You know? Considering that outfit if you make that outfit look exactly the way it did back in the day of the comics, much like that Halloween episode, it's a bit much. You know, so I kind of like the streamlining of it, so that, you know, as long as you got that head, you need to have that headpiece. The headpiece is very important, which they've established on the show. It's extremely important, apparently. Maybe the flowing dressy thing might have been a bit something they wanted to move away from. I'll give them this. I did like the whole punishment of Agatha, that she's going to make her live out her existence as like a sitcom-y nosy neighbor type, her Agnes persona. I liked that better than pretty much anything in their actual battle between each other, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Now, the other major battle we have in this episode, which does get to something I really enjoyed, was Vision battling that, you know, the synthezoid living persona of, you know, white power, you know, the cataract, whatever. But that whole battle, when the battle becomes a conversation, that was a great scene.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bettany's just like solid fucking gold, like pretty much, you know, even crappy stuff. So,
yeah. And I've seen him in crappy stuff, and I still said, no, like him. But, you know, even though he's done some crappy stuff. In a weird way, even though it was much obvious, I mean, it went on perhaps a little bit longer, so it was much more detailed. It kind of reminded me of a kind of a logic problem to kind of make someone see the light that I would see, like on a Star Trek episode. Do you know? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, whether it be way back in the day with Spock, or something with Next Generation with Data, or whichever characters you wish to choose that would make sense. I mean, Data actually would make a lot of sense because of the whole you got the android connection, but Spock was the original. You know what I mean?
And even, you know, like, it definitely kind of has a feel, you know, where just like there's some kind of like thing like attacking Picard's Enterprise, and Picard's just like, hey, you know, just chill out, like this isn't what's going, you know, this is what's going on, like whatever, and then like, you know, the situation's resolved, and then like, you know, that doesn't happen super often, especially in these like comic book things too. So
I also liked, I think it also occurred to me because I think they established, was it, oh God, it might have been it. I apologize if I'm making a reference to Generations, because I do not mean to be referring to that movie. I can't believe I'm the one making the Star Trek reference this week.
I brought it up last week, so it's only fair. With the next commercial,
is it Kirk by that movie who's into the whole shipbuilding stuff or ship in a bottle stuff, or is it someone else, something or a different character? Do you know what I'm talking? Am I totally imagining that?
Some people, I'm trying to think who builds like shipping bottles, but like Chief O'Brien does on Deep Space Nine, but.
Okay. Never mind. I thought that was a thing. Cause I remember thinking, because what they're talking about with the Vision and the White Vision are talking about is this whole thing with this, you know, this mystical ship or blah, blah, blah. And we're going, oh, it's like a ship in a bottle, which makes me think of Star Trek. And now maybe my mind just made that connection out of nowhere, since I can't really pinpoint where I know that from. I'll look it up later, whatever. I'll Google it. Maybe I'll come up with it. So I love the whole conversation that they have, which kind of leads to, you know, them reaching kind of they don't just reach an impasse. They're not going to fight. He kind of wants to understand. And I kind of like what they do here, because one of the interesting things they've been doing in the series that we've been kind of wondering, oh, how does Vision able to do that? And even though we might not necessarily get that explanation beyond the Mind Stone, and then we accept it's just a Mind Stone thing, we'll just wave it away. Or especially now that we know the Mind Stone is just actually a construct of Wanda, it's Wanda magic plus Mind Stone, whatever. Even though she has got a little bit of Mind Stone in her, so maybe it is really Mind Stone, whatever. That he's able to touch people's, you know, he touches their temples and kind of rejiggers their memory or their identity or whatever. And then he can, and that's essentially kind of what he does with the White Vision. I mean, obviously he says something along the lines like he's got all this data within him, which has been untapped, and he can help him to access it because it's been suppressed or whatever, which is basically, here are my memories. I love that whole idea. I love the scene. I thought that was a very nice payoff to what we've been seeing the Vision doing. The Vision storyline, I think, really worked really well and had a nice payoff by this. I mean, they did fight each other for a while, whatever. It just didn't feel like it went on as long as the other one, maybe because we just didn't focus on it as much. And it had a better way it wrapped up, as opposed to what happened between Agnes and Wanda. So I really liked what they did there. And my guess is, and you know, I think everyone is assuming this, so it's not just me, or most everyone, is this White Vision, he will eventually be what's going to be the Vision in the MCU. Because now that he has the memories of the original, you know, whether he has, you know, his actual soul or not, and maybe that'll be something that culminates with what's going to happen with Wanda in the Doctor Strange movies. But I think that's the being that will eventually be the Vision. I mean, he might paint up the white, you know, but I would think that's what they're doing there.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll end up joining the Avengers again or something. I don't know. So we'll see how it goes. That'd be nice. Yeah. He's good. I like to have him around.
And he, again, and if you can keep Paul Bettany around, all the better, because he's so good in these scenes. And then later on, he's great in the scenes with Wanda, as is she, because we get to this whole buildup of where we get the slow undoing of her hex means she has to, you know, sacrifice the family that she had, you know, forged under the spell, you know, first her children, then her husband. But, you know, but we know we're going to be seeing the Vision again. And from one of those major post-credit scenes, we can kind of suspect we're going to be seeing those kids again, too. And we're going to get to that in a second. But there's a couple of little players we didn't get to. I just want to knock them off the board so that we can just concentrate on those final scenes. As you mentioned, and this is where I'm going to start getting into my some of my complaints, by the way. Or one. Just one real one. Okay. So, obviously, when Wanda releases everyone from the Hex, you know, or her spell, despite some cool theories that we never even got around to mentioning on this podcast. I just never got around to mentioning because I didn't want to bog us down. One of them was, oh, Dottie was absolutely going to be this so-and-so in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And there was all these little hints like, oh, she's got the color yellow and this blah, 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 whatever. And you went and got like Emma Caulfield, who I don't know if you know who she is, or maybe you recognize her from a different TV show. A lot of people know her from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where she was a major character there, and she's been in some other TV series as well. The point being, you got this major genre actor to appear just for a couple minutes in a couple episodes. You figure she's going to be something more than just a neighbor, but no, Dottie turns out to just be Dottie. I think what's a little worse, if you're going to go down that road, by the time the series is over, not really much was ever done with either Agent Wu or Darcy.
No.
I mean, did they really... They had little to no impact on the story overall, other than, you know, at the end, Agent Wu calls in the Cavalry, who are the guys who show up who lead away Hayward, so he really does nothing. And Darcy just shows up out of nowhere to crash her truck into Hayward, which only makes me go, where has she been all this time? Has she just been sitting... Because Vision left her on the road a ways back. And the only reason Wanda was trying to block that truck is because Vision was in the truck. So where's Darcy been all this time? I don't understand. But then again, there's a few things like that. I kept looking like, hey, why are they all just standing there like that? Because no one established that they're frozen. I don't understand. We can move them off the table. Okay, fine, whatever. Woo, wasted. Darcy wasted. No big deal. We don't really care. Monica was a bigger deal. And we're waiting to get back to what was going on with Monica Rambeau. And then we do see her hanging out with Pietro, or fake Pietro, or Fietro, whatever. And here's my biggest complaint, as you know, of this entire series. I'm sorry. So you're telling me that this fake Pietro, or whatever, is no more than just some random dude named Ralph Boner. I'm going to get into the dick joke there. And you give no indication or hint or anything that there's going to be any more to that explanation. Or this rather, what I call a sophomoronic reveal. So are you, no, I don't mean you, Dan. I mean, I'm yelling at them. Are you telling me the point of casting Evan Peters, this was just you like trolling the viewing public? Because what was the point of this if you're not even gonna hint at any connection to the multiverse then?
It's dumb. They deliberately got everybody's like minds working, and like if you're informed enough to understand the like higher comic concepts, you're thinking about all these cool scenarios, and then at the end you're like, you know, they're giving you like, you know, like the dumbest like redneck fucking like drink this 30 pack of Bud Light stupidity shit. And if you're not informed, you're just fucking confused because you didn't read the comics. You had to give this some thought. You like probably like saw on the internet that he was in these like crappy X-Men movies or something. And like you're just confused. So it doesn't work at any level. It's just a stupid fucking prank. It's like not even like red herring. It's just like, hey, look at us. Like, you know, it's just dumb. It's childish. It's bad storytelling, and it doesn't accomplish anything except, you know, some like, you know, people that clearly don't know what the fuck they're doing, just like sitting in somewhere jerking each other off, laughing like at how stupid they are, while like fucking chaw dribbles out of their fucking mouth. I don't fucking know. They're just dumb. It's stupid.
Oh, I was wrong. Apparently, you were going to do the rant. That was excellent. I don't like. I feel satiated by proxy. There, that's perfect.
It insults everything at the same time. It insults Evan Peters. It insults like every single person. That just it's not good for anybody at all. It's just dumb.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have no problem with the fact that there were any number of red herrings that they threw into the mix throughout the series. I don't mind that. Because I kind of enjoy them doing that, like, oh, you know, here's a little Easter eggy hint that, oh, maybe it's Mephisto, or maybe it's Nightmare, or maybe it's the one I couldn't pronounce, or whatever, blah, blah, or any other, or Reed Richards might show up, or this one might show up, or whatever. That's fine. I don't care that, though, because those are just little cute things that the only people who are going to really pick up on that are the people who are going to be either they're already comic book obsessed people or the people who are doing the deep dive research, whatever. But that's fine. It does add up to a slight level of disappointment that there wasn't more to the overall story beyond Agatha Harkness. But, you know, big deal. That's some of that's on us. We built that up ourselves as far as that's concerned. But by casting Evan Peters in this part and opening that world up, and that really that put this show, I mean, this show was already being talked about to a certain extent, you know, in the social media out there, whatever, that raised the consciousness of the show considerably. That one decision made this show the hot button topic, the super trending show every week, et cetera, whatever. And to have it culminate in nothing. Now, look, is it conceivable that somehow maybe in the upcoming Doctor Strange movie that maybe there could be something more to it? I guess it's possible, but the fact that there is just no feeling or connection that's going to happen here. I'm so angry with how that was. If they had at least, I'm not saying I wanted an explanation. I actually didn't want an explanation, but just keep me, just give me a little something to make me go, ooh, that's something I can look forward to. They're really going to get into this. There's something more here. And the way they left it as though there wasn't, that he was just this guy and that he was a puppet of Agatha's and thus that's where his speed came from, whatever. Really?
His name is Ralph Boner. Ha 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 ha. Ralph. Very Boner. Funny. Very funny.
Stupid. Yeah. Stupid. No. Wasn't there a character on one of the TV shows whose nickname was Boner, though? I can't remember.
On like I think
one of the sitcoms, kind of Growing Pains. I think it is Growing Pains. Which, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Chekhov's son, the actor that played Chekhov on Star Trek. His son, I think, played Boner. Not that I watched that show, but I just know these like random fucking things for no reason.
That's okay. I do recall the character, Chekhov's son. Really interesting. Huh. I didn't know that. It just as far as all those other theories. I mean, look, might have raised the show fun wise if they had tapped into any of these wild and fun theories that, you know, either the ones that we brought up, the ones that. And for everyone that we brought up, there were like 10 other ones that were out there. Again, it's like what I said at the beginning. I can't claim it's a flaw of the series because we're kind of projecting that onto the series. I can't be mad that you didn't give us Reed Richards. Well, they didn't say they were going to give you Reed Richards. We all said, oh, aerospace engineer, that might be Reed Richards. And we start imagining casting. It's like, even though initially I was like, whoa, I don't think they're going to do something that major on WandaVision. I think that's something. It's going to be a massive announcement at like Comic-Con one day or something. And so-and-so, whoever it's going to be, is going to walk out on the stage, that kind of thing. I don't think they're just going to pull it out of nowhere on, you know, the first Disney Plus show. But I think it's just the fact that none of them panned out. I mean, the fact that, you know, whether it be Doctor Strange or Spider-Man or some random schmuck didn't show up, all that culminates in it just adds a little touch of disappointment. Again, it's not. It doesn't make it bad because any critiquing I'm doing of the show is more based on what we did see. But it did add a little bit of an so it ended up being a bit anticlimactic again. You know, it's weird when the most climactic thing in the show, I mean, when I look back on it, is basically a takeoff on a Munster song more than anything else.
Yeah. You know, it's just, but you know, yeah, they really flubbed that concept. And it's just, I mean, imagine how many conversations happened where like somebody, a casual viewer would come up to somebody like me and ask like, hey, what's going on with this like other Quicksilver? Can you explain this? I've told the same story, you know, 6-7 times to different people. Just imagine how many people have wasted their breath explaining this thing. Yeah. And it's just a fucking boner joke. It's just stupid. I mean,
I am so annoyed about that. And you're absolutely right, because there's a lot of people, because even though there were maybe a significant number of people who had at least seen some, if not all, of the MCU movies, a lot of those people never bothered seeing movies in the X-Men universe. They might not have ever had an interest in them. Quite frankly, most of them aren't very good, so I can't really blame them for that. I think there's, I don't know, that's only if you include the Deadpool movies, is what, 10, 12, 13, whatever number of movies are there, and maybe like 5 of them are actually any good. Yeah, you're absolutely right. We spent time on this podcast. I spent time on Facebook with other people trying to explain things. I had one in-person conversation. I'm sure you had a bunch. It's just that's more frustrating than anything else. Because I just then it's like, really? There was literally no point to this, and all you're making me think is you just chose to fuck with us. And there are some levels of fucking with us I don't mind. I don't mind if, you know, like, you know, we're both fans. You perhaps more so than me. We're fans of someone like David Lynch. David Lynch is someone who at certain points in what he does, he likes to fuck with the viewer a little bit. He likes to test your patience or test your this or whatever. But I know there's an artistic vision behind it. And even if it frustrates me at times, I get it. And I, you know, it's like, okay, I, but this is what he does. This is the fucking MCU. Fuck you. You know, just don't do shit like that. You know, it's make me. No, the funny thing is, I probably would have got them. I was going to get really worked up, and you, from the 30 pack of Bud Light on, and everything you did, and I was just like, oh, I feel anger ebbing. Dan's taking care of business. TCB. All right, yeah. So, which pretty much I think now we just got those two final scenes. The first one being with Monica, where we saw earlier that she had exhibited her, this is me being cute, her spectrum of powers. Spectrum being apparently one of the 8,000 characters she ended up being in the Marvel Universe. I don't know. But in the first of the two post-credit scenes, she gets brought, she's told to go to report to this theater because she, you know, by an agent to speak to someone. And then we see that the agent is actually a Skrull, which harkens back to the end of which movie did we see that? Was it in the spot? Which one?
Captain Marvel.
Was it the end of Captain Marvel? I thought okay. I thought they did like an additional scene in Spider-Man Far From Home, which showed Nick Fury in outer space. I think at the very.
I'm not sure. I think they had like. I think I'm not sure. I don't remember a Nick Fury scene in Spider-Man, but I could be
wrong. Either way, it doesn't matter because they're all gonna be connected anyway. But it is the person they're referring to is Nick Fury, as far as who they want her to talk, who wants to talk to her, and this is them tying her directly to the next Captain Marvel movie. So it's Captain Marvel 2.
So
that's,
and that's good. It's cool that she gets, you know, that's a space character, and it's nice that they'll have some more space characters, you know, because right. they have a pretty deep well they can draw from there. So it's good to, you know, add some more to it and not just have like the same 6 Guardians of the Galaxy bouncing around each other all the time.
Right.
It's cool. I do hope at some point that they have like bad guy Skrulls instead of just like good guy Skrulls, because it is like a good concept they can use if done properly. Well,
it's hard. You know where they're gonna go with the Skrulls. Come on, so
yeah,
you gotta hold off a little bit, but we're gonna get there. You're not going to bring the Fantastic Four into the MCU and not have some bad Skrulls. Because I'm like, dear MCU, you know, okay, here's my checklist. Dr. Doom, Galactus, Super Skrull. Thank you. you can leave Mole Man out. That's okay. I want my Super Skrull. I don't care if he's the Marvel version of Amazo. That's fine by me. And if you think about it, he even got pointy ears. But Amazo came first.
That's what I always think when I see Skrulls. And just because, I mean, it's like Deep Space Nine used a similar concept, even though they didn't use it as much as they could, even though it's kind of like, I mean, but, you know, it's just a concept of, you know, you can have nonstop paranoia all the time. If, like, you know, anybody around you could be an imposter, being able to, if they can use that effectively, they could make, like, some really, you know, really unpleasant, you know, stuff going on where nobody trusts each other and that kind of thing. So hopefully they'll do that at some point.
I think they definitely will. Obviously they've already touched on the Skrull having, you know, there have been bad Skrull already, because that was a whole big surprise. Like, oh, these two are actually going to be good Skrull, you know, with Ben Mendelsohn and the other one. Basically, we know that the more they're going to get into the cosmic stuff, which is where they're going to have to go between certain properties and where they're going to go, the Skrulls are going to be starting to play a bigger part, I'm sure. Hell, they're still here on Earth, and we'll just wait to see where they go with it. The other scene, the final scene, where we see Wanda, she's in some faraway cabin somewhere preparing a cup of tea, and then we see there is another version of Wanda in the other room, presumably studying the Scarlet Witch chapter in the Darkhold, if not the entire damn book. And we also hear the cries of her children, which is kind of implying or indicating that she's going to try to find them somewhere else, perhaps somewhere else in the multiverse. And my assumption is, when we see there's two Wandas, that this is just a form of astral projection that she's doing, which is something that we know that Doctor Strange can do, and we already established she's more powerful than Doctor Strange, apparently.
Yeah, she's more powerful than, like, you know, Thor and, like, everybody, so, in reality.
Oh, I have no... I was not mocking the idea. I was just saying, like, oh, that's going to be interesting when we... But now her place in that movie makes so much more sense, and I feel like she's going to be a much more central figure than I might have expected. And maybe one of the good things about this series is I feel she's kind of earned it now. Whereas before it would have been like, oh boy, Elizabeth Olsen's going to be the Doctor Strange. Who cares? And now I'm like, ooh, now I'm kind of... So I'll get, again, got to give him credit for something. I'm it gets me that much more interested, even though I was on board for the Doctor Strange movie to begin with, because, you know, you had me at the first one, and then you had me at when your title is like Multiverse of Madness. I'm like, okay, you've everything, you know, back to the intro about, you know, vomiting erections and whatever. I mean, that's a lot more exciting than, you know, a title being like, you know, Thor Love and Thunder, which I'm sure is going to be really good, but I don't love the title. But Multiverse of Madness, oh, I'm on board for that one.
Yeah, Marvel's got a pretty deep well when it comes to the magic stuff too, with, you know, a variety of good characters and magic adjacent characters that they can use. So if they continue to cast, like, you know, actors that are good for the roles, and they can do some good stuff. Just not use the writers that decided Ralph Boner was a good thing, please, because it wasn't.
So angry. I might fire off a mean tweet later. Anyway.
Yeah, Dave. David Gott did message me and say he really thought the Ralph Boner thing worked, so take that for what it means.
Oh my God, he got his white vision and he got his boner as well. I thought he had a boner for the white vision. Anyway, wow, we're so horrible. So that's basically the whole thing. It's kind of like what you said. I think definitely the previous episode, and even to a certain extent the one before it, maybe, but definitely the previous episode, it might have fallen prey to the penultimate episode is the more ooh wow episode, and then this one again to me felt, and I think to you, and I think a lot of viewers felt, okay, we're feeling more. It's just Rock'em Sock'em end of a typical MCU movie stuff, which kind of takes away from it. The emotional scenes and the quieter scenes, I think, work extraordinarily well. Like the stuff between the two Visions, and really the stuff between Wanda and her family, and Wanda and Vision, whatever, is really all handled very nicely. And yeah. Again, I already knew Paul Bettany. I said this before, so I know I'm repeating myself. I already knew Paul Bettany was a very good actor, and especially if he's given the right material. I did not know how good an actress Elizabeth Olsen could be, because I had not really seen her in the few other things she's been in. So she definitely got my respect from watching this. So I did enjoy their stuff together. I might have gotten a tear or two, but you know, I'm a sap. I'll cry at commercials. You know, what do I know?
Yeah, it'll be nice. Cause if at some point Wanda loses control and stuff, you know, having a strong actress with range and stuff that's been developed more fully now, it'll be, you know, a lot more meaningful. You know?
Oh,
I think, you know, if they had some like loser play Thanos, nobody would care that he's like chucking his daughter off a cliff in Infinity War. So, I mean, they just, as long as you got somebody doing it, they know what they're doing. It actually means something, even if it's whatever, the bad guy going bad or whatever.
That's very true. It's a very good example of that, because that with Thanos, it's a good idea. And yeah, and now we are, unlike any of the previous things that she had appeared in, which I guess were the other Avengers movies, moving forward, we are now so much more invested in that character from this point on. Because we've spent so much time with her and have so much of a greater understanding of her. And I hopefully that bodes well for a number of things. Obviously, the upcoming Doctor Strange movie. And I think somehow the Spider-Man movie, too, is going to tie into this, because we know they're doing some multiverse stuff there. So there's going to be a connecting piece there. And I actually like the idea that I'm glad. I don't want to know how it happens. I mean, just, I want to be surprised, you know, whatever. But also as we move forward, because if we're going to establish that she's had her powers since from day one, then she also, not just a connection to the multiverse from what she's happening here, she's there for a connection to mutants. And we know that they're going there. Added to my list of things I was wrong about. I was under the impression, rumors that are reported, I don't know how much credence to give them. My assumption was that the MCU and Marvel were not really going to get really into the mutant stuff as far as the MCU proper until phase 5. Cause this is the beginning of phase 4. But now there's talk that they want to do a movie that they're just going to call The Mutants, whatever, which would be starting up the whole X-Men universe in the MCU. A lot of this is just rumor. Obviously no one knows it. Kevin Feige has not released some major statement saying anything or anything like that. So it's just people just speculating. So you don't know what may or may not happen. I just didn't think they were going to do both the Fantastic Four and the Mutants all in the same phase. I think that's along with all these other new characters they're bringing in, you know, like with the Eternals and Shang-Chi. Am I getting
Shang-Chi?
His name?
Yeah.
I didn't want to screw up that name. You know what I'm saying? I just felt like that's a lot you're dealing with all in one thing. It's already going to be a crazy enough phase as is. So it remains to be seen. I was actually surprised about the Fantastic Four part until they actually came out themselves and said that, and with a title card and everything. And then I realized, of course, it's phase 4. You have to have the Fantastic Four in phase 4, smartass. I feel that's, but I think it's all going to build up to that. I think that'll be the final movie in phase 4. And then we'll get to phase 5. Whatever. That's my assumption. I don't know. I'm not a Marvel guy. I'm just guessing here.
Yeah.
But I'm excited.
Makes sense. Yeah, me too.
Hey, you know, I don't know if, obviously, I've not looked on IMDb. I don't know if the same creative forces behind WandaVision have any connection to what's going to happen on Falcon and the Winter Soldier or not. Although, again, that goes into my whole, everything on Marvel is kind of homogenized, so it'll probably feel the same anyway.
Yeah, I suspect it's different people doing it, but like it'll have know, the same, like, you know, like Chris Pratt will be an executive producer on all the shows for some reason, because that's just what they do in this kind of thing. So it'll have like the same like 40 executive producers, but and it'll be shot with like the same like, you know, camera setup and like filters. But other than that, I'm guessing it won't be, you know.
I'm sure it would have to be like a different writing staff and things like that. But they still have to all the thing with the Marvel shows that what they're establishing now is that they all have to adhere to a specific vision, no pun intended, to feed into the movie universe. And so each thing kind of will connect in some way from what we've spoken about before. What I wanted to say, the one thing I would give some hope for with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, because I'm not terribly excited about it, but I'm definitely going to watch it, because maybe what they'll pull off in that is make me that much more interested and care that much more about those two characters. Because, you know, I like the Falcon and I like Anthony Mackie, but I'm not terribly invested in him. You know, he did have some good stuff with early on with Captain America, which I kind of got into, and then we kind of got away from that. And I don't hate Sebastian Shaw as the, you know unfrozen.
Sebastian Shaw is an X-Men villain. Sebastian Stan is the actor.
By the way, you know why it's confusing me? You know why it's confusing me with Sebastian, the Stan thing? When did it become a thing where online or in tweets, whatever, that people don't use the word fan, they say Stan now? Is that like a Marvel thing for Stan Lee, or is it?
I think it's for like everything in general, but I'm not sure. Like, it's an acronym. I'll look it up while you're grumbling about how lame it is.
Yeah, because unless it's a combination of stupid and fan, and then you get Stan or something. Because
it's a song by Eminem, so I've reached that.
Well, I like that. Hey, but I like that song. Something on my window. Anyway, I did not plan to be singing Eminem on this podcast. But that would be my reason for looking forward to that, because, okay, maybe they'll give us more about these characters. They'll make me care about them more. Because, and I mean, obviously, the Sebastian Stan character, but you know, because he's, you know, Bucky Barnes, I should be invested in that because I know the whole story of Captain America and Bucky and where that went and whatever. But for some reason, and I know that many people, and maybe even me, consider Captain America or the Winter Soldier, if it's not the best Marvel movie, it's in the top two or three. And yeah, I absolutely do think it's in the top three. I don't know if it's the best one or not. I got to think about that. But I still never cared about him. And even though he was kind of such a major player in that. So I'm hoping that this TV show will make me care about him and make me more interested in him, you know?
Well, yeah, I kind of, when I watched the movie the first time, I kind of thought like maybe like the actor was a dud or so, and I just maybe, you know, I just wasn't pulling it off. And then when I watched him a second time, I kind of got the impression that like maybe just they weren't giving him good material and they were just telling him like, you know, you're a killer, you'll just be dull and confused and whatever. And I just wasn't giving anything to do because he was just, you know, a killer that had amnesia. You know, there really wasn't much room to do stuff. So, yeah, hopefully he'll be able to do something better, and then we'll get more invested in the character, and they can use him in, you know, some cool property.
Yeah, and then he can change his name to the Snowman, and it'd be fine.
Okay, so I looked up Stan, and it seems to mean a combination of stalker and fan, and about the song Stan by Eminem, which is about, like, somebody stalking or, like, an obsessed fan, I guess.
Oh, my God.
I hate people. We can just skip using that term.
I hate people so very much. All right. I wish we were like other shows where you could do, I could just do like sound drops and we could just like play that clip of something like me saying I hate people. It's over.
I'd be charging
for if we did a podcast like that. You know, I'd be getting people to give us like 35 cents a week or something. Anyway. Overall, I liked the series. I enjoyed it. It had some great high points. The finale is a little bit of a letdown compared to the previous episode and some of the conventionality of it. But I think at the end of the day, at least as far as an emotional journey, that kind of a thing, I think the show absolutely worked well. You know,
yeah.
You know, maybe the comic book geek in me kind of wanted a little bit more. I wanted a bit more threads, a bit more whatever. And they also left a bunch of stuff open, which I think will then just feed into the movies. You know, obviously what Wanda's doing, you know, where'd the White Vision go? He just flew off and he's got to show up again, whatever. And maybe we'll get a better explanation for Ralph Boner, but I just don't think we will. Ralph Boner. God, I'm so mad. Is there anything else you wanted to, any other parting words of wisdom on it before I wrap things up here?
No, I think we covered it pretty good.
I think we did. I am most proud of us.
Yeah.
All that. And I got to find out what Stan actually meant. So now.
Yeah, you'll sleep better now.
I'll never listen to that song the same way again. He's actually talking about going to Comic-Con here. I get it. Okay, do I do the wrap-up first or do I tell them? Let me get the wrap-up out of the way. If you enjoyed this podcast, you'll enjoy hanging out on our podcast page as well. It's the Serious TV Drama Podcast page. Like the page and join the conversation about shows like WandaVision and pretty much everything else you can think of to talk about TV-related in particular. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to our feed. Again, the Serious TV Drama Podcast. Ouch. About time I hit my hand on the desk here. I've been banging parts of my body against the microphone and the desk for like weeks now. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm like Frankenstein's monster, not knowing how to fucking talk here. You can subscribe to our feed as well as rate and review us there. Better yet, you can find all 300 and this would be number five. 305 of our good Lord podcast can be found at, oh God, I forgot what it was. Oh yeah. stvdpodcast.podbean.com. Apparently you can also find us on Stitcher.com. I have no idea. Just put it in there. I don't know. I can't find this, but you guys can, because I can't get it. I still cannot get into Stitcher. So I have no idea if we have 1 or 10 or 20 million downloads there. Who knows? And finally, you can follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is at STVD Podcast. That's STVD as in Serious TV Drama. Podcast, but it doesn't stand for that. Okay, so next up on here at STV Studios, which is, you know, me sitting in my bedroom and, well, pretty much everyone sitting in their cars or you in a motel room tonight. We didn't mention that yet. You're recording from in an Iowa motel room, which I love the image of that. It's just something yeah. Bizarrely. There's something noirish about it. I just haven't figured out quite what it is just yet.
Yeah, just don't get too cocky about it, because you know it could be like the Iowa caucuses, and like you could have just like not even hit record for the whole fucking podcast. None of this happened because it was done so poorly.
Farm noir. That's what it is. That's actually not a bad idea. I think that's an idea for a script. Got to write that down. Farm noir. Yes. So like we had talked a few weeks ago, I don't know. I'm not feeling super compelled to do a podcast about the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. It may very well be one of those things. Let me see it.
Yeah. And then decide. Talk about it.
So I don't, cause I'm a little iffy on it. I kind of want to ease up on a few things because we're getting to the last few of on the countdown. Speaking of which, I should mention that because that will be the next podcast upcoming. The next thing coming out will be the next episode of the greatest TV drama episodes of all time. We are now up to number 6, which I have not announced online, but I did announce it at the end of the number 7, which was on a Buffy episode. Number 6 is going to be an episode of The Sopranos, episode that Sopranos fans know very well, Pine Barrens, and the co-host for that podcast will be W. Axel Foley. And I already kind of went off on I've been drinking too much and really tired. I shouldn't be bringing stuff up at the end of a podcast rant at the end of the Buffy one, where out of nowhere, I just started ranting about the Hitchcock bracket thing on their group page, because it stemmed from, because Court was on that podcast, and she and the Geek Girl Soup ladies had just recently done a podcast about Hitchcock stuff, movies, and tying it to the theme of love for Valentine's Day. And I saw the list of movies they did, and I initially had a reaction to it, but I kind of tempered it. And I just said, I asked, how did you guys decide on which movies you picked? And then I found out through them that, and then I looked myself. A lot of the choices that should have been made for such a subject matter simply aren't available to see streaming, you know, unless you want to go pay and rent them or whatever. And then I discovered the weirdest thing, the way to watch Notorious right now at this point in time, if you don't already own it, like me and you do, of course, it's on YouTube. Notorious is on YouTube. It's the weirdest thing. I actually put it on. I was like, oh my gosh, the entire movie.
Is your birthday coming up soon?
My birthday is coming up. My birthday will be in a few weeks.
I should have bought you the Criterion version of Notorious in the last sale.
I have it.
Oh, you have the Criterion
version? I have the Criterion one, yes.
Did I get that for you?
No, I got that one myself. I really love those Lux Theater things. I think they alone make it worthwhile. It's so good.
Yeah, they're pretty thorough with their supplemental features and stuff, so you can find a lot of fun stuff in a variety of things. It's definitely cool.
That's what makes those worth getting. You know, I mean, because I know a lot of things people were just, oh, I can just stream. It's like, yeah, but those, there's some features you're not going to find anywhere else, and that's one of the ones I really like. I used to love those old little radio dramas when, you know, I would check them out or something. You know, I remember being a kid listening to, like, actually do Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back as, like, a weekly radio drama, which was amazing. And then my mother would have, like, the old stuff, and she'd play, like, here's Sherlock Holmes, or here's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, or whatever. So I enjoy that. So
I like watching you react to, like, questionable brackets and choices on online, and the one where, like, the Geek Girl Soup podcasters, like, said that the Cylons of BSG were aliens, and you're just like,
I realized that she was writing it, and she wrote it at the time, she hadn't watched the series, so it's, I get the mistake, but the whole thing is they're not aliens. That's kind of a big thing. Whatever. Why are we using the end of our podcast to start bashing other podcasts?
We use the beginning of the podcast to talk about boners and erections, so now we're really on the other end there.
Now we're pulling a boner ourselves, and your audio got really weird all of a sudden. It's been so good up until now. Now it's strange. So that tells me it's time to wrap things up for good. Yep. So, again, the next podcast will be we'll be covering The Sopranos and the greatest TV drama episode of all time. The release date for that, I'm deliberately being a little fuzzy on a couple of these things right now, just kind of keeping things a little open on my end. No discussing, pun intended. Expect that one to come out in, I'm going to say mid-March. So that might be March. If I had a guess, I'd say March 16th, but I decide to get it done sooner. It depends on me and Axel's, or as I call him, Bill. Bill's schedule. He listens to the WandaVision one. You know, I'm kidding with you, dude. We're going to have fun on our podcast. It's going to be so much fun on that podcast.
Yeah, he's from New Jersey, so make sure to ask him if he's, like, with hiking in the Pine Barrens, because, you know, if I was on that podcast, I would have just asked specific hiking questions about outdoor areas.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that would end up being, like, the entire podcast would just be hiking. It would actually be a remote, you'd actually record it remotely doing the hike in the Pine. That would actually be a podcast. Gosh,
that would be cool.
Anyway, wow, this could have been such a nice, tight podcast, and then I just let it go blah, blah, blah here. So, for listening, Dan, thanks for joining from your motel room in Iowa. The listeners think we'll also be able to capture your audio as oddly as I am right now, but I like the fact that you just became this little small voice. Like you're far, far away. But thanks for joining, and to everyone out there, good night, and good night to you, Dan.
Good night. Oink, oink. Here from Iowa. Oink, oink. Signing out.